Hello, everybody. Welcome to Madrid Martinis. I'm Adam, and here's Danielle. You can say hi. Yeah, it's okay. You're here.
I'm off. I'm a little off.
I had a whole list of things here that I wanted to start with, but first, you impressed me tonight, just like 10 minutes ago.
Really?
Yeah. You don't even know,
wait,
do you?
Can I guess what
Try.
I did?
What happened? What just happened that would impress me? You know, like a small thing, like nothing huge.
It's got to be cleaning related.
Kinda.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Well, you didn't clean, so
no,
that wasn't
I
it.
I haven't.
But
no,
it was kind of similar.
God, cleaning related, kind of similar.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Well, we just did the whole episode about what was it? Mom
organizing?
No, the mom
Valley.
The things that you do that we don't think about.
Oh, mental load.
Mental load.
Yeah.
Right. So there was a paper jam in the printer, and
I told you to fix it.
You told me to fix it because you would never do that. So that was my job.
Well, I don't want to break the machine.
Sure.
No, I'm serious. You don't want me fixing a paper jam either.
No, probably not.
Right.
But so the problem was that there was a stack of papers in there that was just bad. It was like glued together or something that it wasn't going through the printer. So I took them out and I almost threw them out. And you said, no, stop. Jonah could use it. Don't throw them out. And it was almost like you were like, save the paper so Jonah can use it so we don't have to buy more.
Oh, no. I was thinking about like the planet. Not about money.
Oh.
I was like thinking from a green perspective.
Oh, for a second there, I thought you were like trying to be,
No. I thank you for giving me credit.
Yeah.
But I was more thinking of like saving the environment.
That's good too.
Which I'm horrible at in so many ways, but I do try a little bit.
The planet is just fine.
No, it's not.
Oh,
it's
yes,
not
it is.
Just fine.
It's humans that are not just fine.
Oh, well, the planet is
going to be just fine without us. So,
you think we're going to be gone before the planet's gone?
All the planet has to do is like erupt some volcano, and then all the plastic is gone. The Earth doesn't care about that. It's going to like
it's going to rejuvenate itself.
It's yeah. The Earth is fine. We don't need Earth Day. We need People Day.
What does that mean? Like for people to be better? Well,
yeah,
that's what
like,
Earth
what do we
Day
care? We don't care that we need to save the Earth. The Earth is just fine. We need to save it so that humans can survive on the Earth.
Oh, you're saying that in right?
It's a selfish thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the Earth is going to be here no matter what.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah. Plastic's not going to kill the Earth. It's going to kill humans.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's actually one of the things I wanted to talk about in this episode for expectations. I have that.
Oh, really?
Well, not the Earth, but you know. Just how fucking horrible I am at trying to save it, even though I do try.
Okay. Before we continue, I just have a few things to say.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. I did some research. And there was a couple of reviews that were left for us that I want to comment on.
Uh-oh.
The first one was, this is just good. It's very nice. So I thank you for NHPRNCSS.
Oh.
Who left us a very nice review.
Is that NPR?
No, NPH. No,
oh.
I'm sorry.
Neil Patrick Harris left us a review. Okay.
I absolutely love listening to Danielle and Adam. They're so real. They say the things that everyone thinks about, but nobody says out loud. It helps me think about my own relationship, but it's so funny that it doesn't feel like work. Thank you. Nothing to say about that, but hey, thanks for leaving that review. That's kind of cool. Next one, and this is the one I kind of wanted to get to, that we have a lot of new podcast listeners, people who have never listened to a podcast before.
Yes, and thank you.
Thank you for allowing us to pop your cherry, your podcast cherry.
Mm-hmm. Adam likes to pop people's cherries. Been a long time for him.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. So, all right, header was my default podcast for me time.
I think it's my default podcast for me time.
Default? Not yeah. Default?
Well,
wrong.
I think you had the wrong, the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Is that true?
I
default?
Think so.
Default? Default?
It could be. Either
way.
Yeah,
anyway,
way.
They go along to say, love your podcast. I have recommended to so many friends and find myself talking about it all the time because you have so many applicable topics.
Ooh.
Applicable?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning. Question.
Or applicable.
Applicable?
Sure.
Question. Did you use like a fast forward button or something for your recent podcast? I feel like you were speaking so fast. The mental load one had the life coach on speed talk. Ha! Are you trying to fit it all in? Ha ha! So much to say. Congrats and keep up the good work.
Wow, you should be one of those audiobook readers. Right? Audible should hire you.
So for all of you newbies out there, noobs.
Oh God.
Podcast apps have an option to speed up the podcast. So you can set it to like 1.5 times speed or 2 times speed. Or
yeah, that's probably what she did, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
So you were probably...
Assuming it's a she. I don't know.
She or he or uh-huh. you out there, you accidentally probably hit it somehow.
Right.
That sped it up.
But thank you for being nice about
it. I'm putting this out there on the podcast because we can't message a reviewer.
Right, you can't message a reviewer.
And
yeah.
this is the only way to communicate to yeah. somebody who leaves a review. So... try that. That might have been the problem.
Right, right. And I appreciate that how nice they were because sometimes
yeah,
people
of course.
Aren't so nice. But also, this is a good chance to just say, it's been a few weeks, we've had mostly interviews, but this is a good chance to say, please check your phone and make sure your subscribe button is hit. Because I know a lot of times people forget. I forget sometimes. No matter the podcast, doesn't even have to be ours. Just subscribe. You don't have to listen to all the episodes, but it really helps us. And also, please go rate and review. So,
okay, wow. Out, there. Out of the way first.
Out of the way first.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Get the business done.
So speaking of that, let's start. What are we talking about?
Oh, well, I wanted to say something too.
Oh, you Am have I an allowed? Intro?
What?
That's not typical.
It's not?
No.
I think it's typical.
Oh, okay.
Well, what's I just want to, I thought you were going to bring it up. I thought this was going to be one of your things that tomorrow's Mother's Day.
Yeah, we did that already.
Oh my God. What do you mean we did that already?
It's like every when? Year. It's like, oh, it's Mother's Day again.
Well, you know, by the time people listen to this, it won't be Mother's right. Day anymore. But I more wanted to say from the standpoint of, yes, happy Mother's Day to, you know, all those mothers out
happy
there.
Happy Mother's Day.
But also, and you were, oh, for fuck's sake, Billy. All I want is my dogs to
you,
stop barking.
You guys have
mother's
no
Day.
Idea. We just cut out like 10 minutes of pre-recorded stuff because Billy won't shut up.
Yeah.
Because Augie stole his bone.
Right.
So.
I just wanted to say also, I want to throw in there that I know there are a lot of people out there who, number one, aren't moms. I know there are a lot of people out there who've lost their moms who are dealing right now with infertility issues, you know, who just maybe have lost a child, whatever it is. I wanted to just say, you know, Mother's Day to me is more about just having kids. I have so many maternal influences in my life who aren't my mom, maybe don't even have kids, but I think that, you know, it's important to just say, to me, the day is about those people out there who care for you and keep you safe and make you feel loved and adored. And so happy Mother's Day to any woman who's out there, you know, taking care of people around them. And if you have friends who have lost a mom or anything, make sure you check on them, even if it's not Mother's Day.
That's very
hard.
Sweet.
Well, thank you. I needed to throw that in there.
I thought you were going to start talking about my amazing gift to you for Mother's Day.
I should talk about that, but I was going to talk about that after the fact.
Why? Just in case it doesn't get done or something?
No, I was just going to wait until after and talk about the experience okay. of it. So we always joke about a mom wanting to be alone in a hotel, and you gave me a night alone in a hotel.
I did.
Tomorrow night.
Yes.
Yes,
well,
will be
today
alone
is
tomorrow night.
Saturday. Tomorrow is Sunday, Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. So I said to you, I want you to have... I've heard what you've been saying, mm-hmm. and I said, I want you to have alone time.
Yep.
Go by yourself, go work, go sit at a hotel, have a night out all by yourself, mm-hmm. and that's my gift to you.
Thank you. That's very nice.
All
that's
right.
Great gift.
Yes. What we got? We didn't even talk about what this episode's about
Go ahead.
Yet. Me?
Yeah.
Expectations.
Yeah, expectations or high expectations or... I think we need to put ourselves in check because I think we're all being, especially after the mental load episode, a lot of episodes, I think that part of the reason why we're all so stressed all the time and kind of disappointed a lot of the time or some of the time even, is that we're expecting too much out of ourselves. And as some... you know, very wise people out there, a lot of, you know, psychologists and therapists and everything say, we're expecting too much from the people around us, maybe. And maybe sometimes we're not. But I think that the whole expectation thing, if we sort of figure out if we are on the right track or not, maybe we can give ourselves a little bit of leeway, a little bit more credit. And I think we all deserve that.
Okay. Well, once again, I have a list of questions that you prepared me for. Mm-hmm. And
it's a new episode. We haven't done
this. I didn't
say
that.
Before.
I did not say this is a new episode. Mm-hmm. How much of how we were raised affects our expectations for our lives and our future? Did you answer it or do you want me to get going?
I did. I did answer it. I think I'm out of order, but I did answer it.
What a
but
shock.
Yes, you know, I think about how we were raised and how we're raising our kids even. If we want to group them into two, I know I asked them
to
take a
question.
No, I
have it down the list.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just how much of how our parents raised us, what was expected of us that was that you know when we were young is ingrained in us about who we are as people and maybe how we've turned out.
Okay, well, let's go back to the both of us as kids, how we were brought up. We both come from like upper middle class families in New Jersey, good areas, good upbringing. And we were both raised very differently, but in the same, what, class, society? Like, how would you help me?
Yeah, but same economical background.
Right, good.
Suburbs, yeah.
Yeah, like I
same
grew
schooling up till college. No, I didn't mean that as
I thought it was
I thought
it was a joke.
No, I didn't mean it as like a dig. I'm serious. But it's a fact. Oh. We both had the same schooling until up till college. Oh my God.
Just because you had 4 years and I had 6 months, they're gonna have to throw it in my face. Well, I grew up with a dad who was a self-made, self-employed business owner, entrepreneur, who was pretty much a workaholic. Like, my mom even always said his third kid was the business because...
There were only two kids.
There was only two of us, me and my older sister.
Because you're the third child. We were very upset. And, that.
Yeah, but we were very, I don't want to say poor or lower class... But I was 6 years old when he started the business, and that's when things kind of took off. So we weren't doing the best until this happened. And
but your mom tells me a story. Can I jump in there?
Yeah.
She tells me she's very. I'm the type of person who, when I have, you know, when I'm running out of gas. Well, I have run out of gas actually more than once because I'm so bad about filling my tank. But she's the type of person who, if it gets to the halfway mark on the gas tank, she goes and fills it. She never goes below the halfway mark. And one time I was like, what? Like, what the hell? Like, why? You know, why? I understand not doing what I do, which is pray the entire time I'm going the last 5 miles to the gas station that I make it. But she said it's from when back in the day, you know, when you were little and they had no... that she could only fill, you know, $2, $3 into the tank. So she always was on empty.
Huh.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
So she would just drive around on empty constantly, just like filling up her tank a little bit more when she could.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
So that kind of maybe encapsulates how it was when you were younger.
Wow. That's funny because I was always a quarter tank person. Not for any reason, but whenever I got to the quarter, I would go get a fill up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it has anything to do with that or...
Oh, no. I am the person who... I'm not like a praying girl. I pray on the way to the gas station when I, yeah.
Yeah. I've stopped in your car a couple times, taking your car out and realizing, oh, hey, there's no gas in the car.
Right.
And I'm stuck on the side
of
the road.
It's like in the cartoon where there's fumes coming out the back.
Yes. All right. So, yeah. So anyway, so I grew up in a very workaholic situation where it wasn't a bad thing for my dad to be that way because he was so excited and he started this thing. So at starting at the age 6, all I saw was work. Work, work, work. That's what you do. That's what it is. That's what you have to do to be successful. So that's kind of one of the things that I started off seeing and seeing what expectations were going to be for me, possibly. But my mom, she also worked. She raised 2 children, and she worked with my dad. So she had that. Your dad, also self-employed doctor. Had his own practice, right? Stop me if I'm wrong here.
Yeah, self-employed, okay. But it's a little different than your... I mean, my dad went through school to be a doctor.
No, but you saw him as a doctor. So what you were seeing is that he's working crazy hours working.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you saw the same thing as what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom, Linda, she did something. Right? She did something on Tuesdays.
She did stuff from like 3 to 4 in the afternoon. She's Linda.
Linda, we love you.
She did some great stuff, but it had to be her schedule, her, you know, but she did really good things. Like most of it was practically volunteer. Like I think she probably made like $2,000 a year.
Right.
But she bettered humanity.
Well, we make a joke of it, but she did things that you saw that probably instilled in you expectations of a kind of person you should be.
And she raised 3 kids. But that's
what I'm saying.
Kind of normal. Well, my brother and sister are very normal. But she obviously, whatever she did a good job.
That's what I was trying to say.
Right.
Even though she wasn't working.
Oh.
Listen, this is
tomorrow's fucking Mother's Day. Please don't forget that.
Okay. But we both saw our parents working to be successful, to provide for their families.
All right, so your expectations are, let's hurry. Oh, my God.
Wait
you
a minute.
Tell a story like fucking old people make love, I swear to God. Let's go. Come on. Right, what's the point?
That's an old school joke right there.
Okay, well, it's a good one, though.
But that's what we saw. That's what we knew. Our expectations were, you work hard, you provide for your family. So that's what we saw as kids.
That's you, as a man. I didn't see that for me.
I guess so. I thought maybe you did because you saw your dad was gone all day working hard.
I saw.
So you would think.
You marry a man who's going to take care of you.
So you think the man. Right. So the way you grew up was you saw the man works all. Right.
I see. I saw the man works hard. I saw the man takes your car to get serviced. I saw the man takes care of everything in the house. I saw all that.
And the woman lays in bed and yells directions from bed.
Right.
And says,
you know,
hey,
the bus is coming
this.
In 10 minutes. You better get your ass out of bed. I'm going to go back to sleep. Yeah.
All right. That's the background. That's what
no,
I saw.
No, we're being mean to Linda and it's Mother's
no,
Day.
No, I said from before.
I know.
Linda instilled some amazing values in you.
She did.
Yes.
I don't know how many people out there are like me. They get super stressed about packing before a vacation.
I was just going to say, we're talking about Mumi here. I love this thing because I like packing. I like making a neat bag and a neat, you know, pack.
Well, because all you do is pack for yourself.
Exactly.
I pack for the rest of us. Yeah. And the night before, you're like, can you check to make sure all my stuff is right? And
yeah, and make sure that you're okay with the clothes I pack.
Okay.
I love organizing and I love making everything perfectly fit. And these Mumi bags do it perfectly.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome, and it really does take. I get so stressed about packing and traveling and losing things, and it makes it so easy. And they have all kinds of bags. They have garment bags, they have toiletry bags, cosmetic bags, everything you possibly need. Laundry bags, and it's all color coded. So each person, you had blue.
Yes.
Each person in your family can do their favorite color. The kids get super excited about it, and it gives them some responsibility while you're away. They have their own bags. So go to MubiDesign.com and check everything out. They also have those cute honeymoon packs that are a great bridal shower gift. They say Mr. and Mrs. on them. They're so cute. MubiDesign.com, 15 martinis, 15 martinis for 15% off your order. Mumi, MUMI, design.com, 15 martinis. If you're going away this summer, you got to get it. So I said, I feel like as a society, we're very big on labels, right? Like we like to put ourselves into these nice little categories. Like we did the birth order episode, which I actually happen to think is a very good episode. If you have not watched it, I think it's fun. But growing up, I was always told I was bad at math. I was labeled as being bad at certain things and good at certain things. My mom was huge on labels. And I think that was a lot from her upbringing, right? I think girls are bad at math. You know, boys are bad with words. I think it's like a very stereotypical, dichotomous, cut and dry kind of scenario when really it's not like that at all.
Sure.
But growing up, and I have to say, I am bad at math.
Well, could it possibly be like that with exceptions? Like, is it?
Well, no, because if you look at now as we go on in society, how many more and more women are mathematicians? Men are some of the best writers in the world. And I mean, you can't do it that cut and dry. I think it's way more, it's way more complicated or simple than that. You can't do it like that. But I was always told, my mom always told me, and again, I'm not blaming her. I think it was a lot to do with her generation. oh, Danielle's bad at math. I was the fun one. You know, I was the one who made people laugh, and I was the one who was probably getting in trouble, but not too much trouble. I wasn't, you know, I didn't like get arrested or anything, but I think that it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy for me. I wonder almost, not that I think I could have been like a calculus major.
No, you couldn't.
Of course. Right. But I wonder how much I just kind of let myself not fail, but not live up to any kind of potential because I felt self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
So because somebody said to you, you're not good at math. So yeah. You said to yourself, why should I try?
Right. I was the fun one. So let me be fun. And if I get in trouble, it'll be okay because I'm the fun one in the family and people expect that of me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't expected. My brother was, you know, he was always told he was so smart. He was genius. He was, you know, and he is. He's brilliant. And he is smarter than me on a school book level for sure. But I just wonder, and I worry about this with our own kids, because I think it's very easy to do that and it's very easy to fall into that. Like I think I'm always saying to Ian, our middle son, oh, you're just like daddy. Or he'll say sometimes,
oh, like, and he's like, why the fuck would you say that to me?
I'm a miniature daddy. Or no, he's proud of it.
I know.
But it's so easy to do that I have to remind myself, I don't want to do that. I want him to be his own person. But sometimes that's, especially if I'm in a frustrating moment and he's acting like you, I'm like, oh, you're acting like dad. Like, I need to not do that. But I wonder how much of that, what we're told when we're younger, I think maybe, you know, I didn't take math classes in college because I was scared. I thought, you know, I didn't, when I used to work at your family business, I never wanted to work the register because I was scared I was going to fuck it all up. But maybe had I been told, no, if you work at it, you can do it, it would have been different. Yeah. And not just with math, with everything. I think I was led to believe a lot of things that I was bad at and good at.
Yeah, when I think our generation, when we grew up, it was kind of more, this is what you're good at, go do this. Mm-hmm. And this is what you're good at, go do this. It wasn't work on this.
Right.
Like, you're bad at math, work on it. Work hard. No, you're good at English,
take care of English. Focus on that. Yeah. And a little bit, I get that. If that's what you enjoy, listen, I enjoy English a lot more. But I think maybe I wouldn't be as scared of things now. I have a fear of it because it's ingrained in me that I'm so bad at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah. And like I said, I'm not blaming my parents for that. I don't even blame myself for when I do it, even though I want to work at it. I think that's just, you know, that's what we do. We like to compartmentalize. We like to label. We like categories. We like to put ourselves into these little boxes. It's easier.
All right. Before we move on, I have a question for you. Am I being nice so far? Just answer yes or no.
Yes, very. Why?
Oh, good. Because I'm so tired. I was so tired. I was up before 5 today. I was at work at 6:30. And I came home and we're doing the recording. And I was like falling asleep. So I poured some tequila. I've been drinking tequila for the last hour. And I want to make sure I'm being nice. Because
you are being nice because you're drinking tequila. Yeah. Wait, so why did you pour tequila? What made you decide
Because
that?
It would wake me up. It would get me going.
How do you feel now, okay?
No, I feel much, much better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, me on tequila, I could be, you know.
Well, yeah, this is your busy time at work.
Not so
and
nice.
And that's when, this really is, like I say to people all the time, what people don't realize is that this really is a side hustle for us.
Oh, yeah.
The podcast. I mean, we would like it to not be a side hustle, but it really is. And you have a full-time job and we do this after hours. And
yeah, I just want to make sure that I'm being
nice. Yes, you really nice. Are being nice.
And on that, I'm going to stop drinking tequila because I don't want to get over the top with that stuff.
That's a good idea.
So,
oh boy,
I'm going to break out. Do you know what this is? Can you recognize this label?
Hitachino. Hitachino Nest
Beer. I'm
going to
open this.
Am I supposed to? This is not a sponsor, right?
Nope, not at all. I wish they were.
Oh, it's Hitachino. If you want to sponsor us, let us know.
Never heard of it. It's a Japanese beer. Does that help? Can you hear?
Yeah, sounds good.
So this beer, Hitachino Nest
Hitachino
Beer. It's a white ale, the one that I like. Mm-hmm. I was introduced to this by the waitress at Blue Ribbon Sushi. That's the first time I ever had it, our favorite sushi place in New York. And if you would like to sponsor us, Blue Ribbon Sushi.
I mean, Lord knows we've spent enough fucking money.
Exactly.
There.
Our favorite sushi place in New York. That's where I was introduced to this beer, and I like it. All right, so that's enough of that.
That's great.
Go get yourself
it's a
one.
Cute bottle.
It's cool, right?
Yeah,
it's
very
a really
cool.
Good beer. It's expensive.
Oh, yeah. They really should sponsor us. Maybe they send us some free beer.
Okay, moving on. Do you feel like you're living up to your earlier, younger self's expectations?
Right. Like when you're younger, you always have these dreams, right? These expectations for yourself of what your future is. Yeah. People always ask you, you know, what are you going to be when you get older? Which, by the way, Michelle Obama says you shouldn't be asking kids that.
Oh, come on.
What are you going to be when you get older?
Oh, give me a break.
Well,
of course you should.
Well, wait a minute. I sort of agree with her because what she's saying is don't put yourself into a box. Maybe what you're going to be is at 25 isn't what you're going to be at 35 and 45 and 55.
No, when you're six. That's what I'm talking about. When
she says ask more like what makes you happy or because what you want to be when you grow up is that it's, you know, one or two things. It's not opening up all the possibilities.
No, I disagree. When I was asked what I want to be when I was six.
You said a fireman?
No, I wanted to be a pizza maker.
Oh, that's a fun job,
yeah.
A pizza maker.
I wanted to make pizzas.
I'd like to make pizzas.
So give me a break. At that age, ask the kid what they want to be when they grow up.
People who make pizza are people out there making pizzas who are very successful.
Damn right.
Right.
I should have done that.
Yeah, you should have. All right, go ahead.
All right, so do I feel like I'm living up to that? I said yes and no because when I was a little older, obviously, and I saw my family and my parents and I knew I expected that when I grew up, I was going to be a husband and I was going to have kids and I was going to work and, you know, the traditional lifestyle. So yes, that's happened. I've done that. But as far as expectations, like I said in the beginning of the episode, we grew up very, very differently as much as we grew up very similarly. And we've kind of merged and combined those two things, that the way you grew up and the way I grew up, we fought about for tons of years already, but we merged them and we found our happy place and our happy medium. And what I expected when I was younger, when I say younger, I'm saying like teens, because if I'm 15 and I see, I'm more impressionable at that age about the kind of marriage I want to have and the kind of father I want to be, because all I know is my parents. Mm-hmm. So that's what I expected for a long time, pretty much until I met you, and you were not that. My expectations were you were supposed to be like that. And over the years, up until even today, we're learning more and more every day. No, it's give and take. It's how were you brought up? How was I brought up? We got to meet in the middle and find what works for us.
Well, so, and that your marriage, it's not going to be the same. The person you marry isn't maybe the same person they're going to be in 15, 20. You're not the person you're going to be in 15, 20 years. But you don't realize that at the time.
Not
at the time,
at all.
You think this is going to be me for the rest of my life.
Correct.
And yeah, like Esther Perel says, you know.
Oh, she's back.
Oh, I'm going to talk about her like 60 times during this episode. Okay. She's back. She's never left me. She's always with me. She says that in the course of your life, most adults have two or three different marriages, some with different people, some with the same person. So maybe you're going to be married to the same person, but you're going to experience three different types of marriages with them. Three different kinds of relationships with them.
That makes sense.
Yeah. each there's different phases to a marriage, and you can be married to the same person, but it's not the same relationship all the way through. It changes.
That's completely relatable for us.
Right. Well, that's why she says it's possible to get over infidelity, is that you can start a new marriage with the same person.
Okay. See, that's the one for me that I have trouble with.
Right. But no matter what, I mean, whether it's infidelity or stuff we've gone through or anything, I think she gives hope to you can start again. Mm-hmm.
What about you? Are you living up to your expectations of your younger self?
Well, that's like, I even thought when I wrote it, it's a complicated question. They're all complicated
questions.
Yeah,
of course.
Right. But yes, if I showed myself pictures of what my life was now when I was a teenager, I would probably think from the outside, this is picture perfect. So I'm, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom. My husband has a good job. I have three great kids, friends, a nice house. But
well, man, let's just stop there. No, but
if you slow that down, like documentary style, like film style, and dig deeper, do a live video, like through the last 15 years, my life is so much harder than that picture. You know, it's sure. All so much more complicated than I probably would have changed my expectations. You know, like I think that. It's like Facebook, right? Like you see the pictures and everything looks so great and everyone always is putting the pictures of the best moments up. Well, you don't see the bad moments. So yes, if someone were to come and like take photographs of us, it would be a picture perfect
right.
situation. If they were to document it in a documentary style, oh, for fuck's sake, it would be a shit show. It would be a Netflix bestseller. Like, it would be the most watched Netflix program on there because...
Can you hashtag Netflix on this one?
Expectations and reality are so different in this.
We need a show. Netflix, if you're listening.
We have a show. It's a podcast, and it's called Marriage and Martinis. But you know, my expectations also over the years, I think my expectations for myself have changed. My admiration for myself has changed. I'm proud of myself for things that I don't think I would have been proud of before. And I'm also proud and impressed of people around me and like what I originally loved about the people in my life and what I admired them for is different than what I admire them mm-hmm. for now. Like I think I originally admired people for what they had. I think now I admire them for what they've been able to withstand and gone through and you know yeah. So that's all changed.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I like the survivor in everybody, you know, more than I never knew what that meant, but now I feel like I admire that in people.
Okay, well, for me, the way I saw things growing up was you work hard, and if you do that, things just work out. That everything, if you do what you're supposed to do, everything else that comes along just goes along with that.
Which most of the population knows is not true because there are so many hardworking people out there who
absolutely,
are not.
But I did not grow up in that situation.
Quote unquote successful in the American way.
Right. But that's how my expectations have changed because I've seen.
Because you saw your parents working so hard and
correct.
Everything kind of flowed.
I saw how hard my parents worked. And everything just seemed to work out after that.
Got it.
Yeah, so for me, I always thought that you do what you're supposed to do, you work hard, and everything else just goes along and
falls into place.
But it doesn't. Things change. You know, we have a retail business. You know, retail's not what it used to be. So things change. You know, you're not doing the volume that you were doing at one time. Profits aren't what they were. So you're not
there's
making
a helium shortage, which helium people probably don't know about.
No, everybody does now. Because
I don't know about that.
Well, it was in the New York Times.
Well, when I told our friends about it, they're like, what do you mean a helium shortage? How can there be a helium right. shortage? So you're a party store.
We're a party store.
So if there's a helium shortage, you're fucked.
Well, 30% of our business is balloons.
Right.
And what's more important, balloons or MRI machines? Because you need helium for that. NASA uses helium. So we're obviously the last source to
as
get
it
helium.
Should be, but
of course it
but
is.
The bigger question is how the fuck is there a helium shortage?
Okay. Well, I'm not going to explain that here
well,
on the podcast.
But people probably don't even know where helium comes from because like my friend is like, well, how do you get helium? Like, do you run around with a jar and catch it in the air? Like, what do you do to get helium?
There's literally...
It's interesting.
There's three places in the world that you can mine helium to use for balloons.
What are those three places?
There's Texas. There's two other places.
And there's probably more that you're not being told about because someone right. else is mining it.
But so things happen. Things just out of nowhere. Like who would ever think of a helium shortage? And that's going to affect
right.
my business by 30% if we should run out of helium. And that's detrimental to a business. So things just happen that you don't expect. And it destroys your expectations of the way things are supposed to
be. You can work as hard as you want, right. but you can't.
Right. If you can't, control, if you don't have
there's
it.
There's things out of your control.
Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I know you're excited today, Danielle, because today is Mother's Day. But Father's Day is coming up soon.
Of course, my moment is over.
The day's not even over yet. Indochino is the perfect gift for any dad looking to step up their style, because I need to step up my style, and I got my shirt, and it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. So Indochino makes custom fit shirts to fit your exact measurements. That's right, they're made just to fit you. But they're not just for dads. A lot of our Married to Martinis listeners are just starting to get married now.
That is true.
Yes. Indochino is able to outfit grooms and their parties because they have showrooms. So you can actually go to their showrooms with your whole party and get fitted, sized, get your perfect suit and shirt, and you're good to go. And the guys love their wide selection of high-quality fabrics and colors to choose from. Not to mention the option to personalize the details, including your lapel, lining, pockets, buttons, and writing your own monogram. So like your whole party could have just your name written inside of their jacket. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Right? Isn't that fun?
They do have a lot of different fun styles. And I feel like, I don't know, I love a fun suit and a fun shirt. Absolutely. Let's have some fun.
So this week, any of our listeners can go to Indochino.com and enter MNM at checkout. That's going to get you 50% off any suit or shirt. That's a made-to-measure suit. It comes to $379 for a custom fit whole suit. Like, you can't get that in a store.
I think we need to get my dad one.
We should.
I think the last time we went to a wedding with him, he was wearing a suit that, like, with floods, like the pants for floods from the 70s. It was funny. Like Steve Martin. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we need
like to, in that scene in the attic when he was trying his old tux on.
Exactly. I literally think that's what my dad was wearing last time. Oh, Augie agrees.
So go to Indochino.com now, enter the code MNM, you get 50% off and free shipping. So go to Indochino.com, that's Indochino.com for 50% off and free shipping.
We just had the organizers on, and we were talking about habits, having good habits, and how you need to do something consistently for 21, 30 days. And that's the way I feel about using Care Of, because I'm not, in general, like, I'm not like a kale smoothie person. I'm not one of those people who, you know, I'm not constantly eating well and everything. So the fact that I can take these vitamins that have been personalized just for my needs makes me feel kind of like every day I'm doing a little something that's easy, that's taking care of my body. And I feel really good about that.
Yeah. Well, you're getting all those things, those vitamins and whatever.
Things is your favorite word.
You're getting all that stuff that you're not getting because you're not eating kale and you're not eating perfectly.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I took the online quiz. Got 100%.
You did good.
I did good.
Well,
everyone gets 100%. And it told me exactly what I need for my body. And I have digestion stuff, stuff for, you know, my hair, my skin, all different things that I really wanted help with. And it makes it so easy. They come in these cute little containers, these cute little packages.
Got your name on it.
With your name on it.
That's your favorite part.
I love them. And every day on the go, just take them, put them in my bag, and take them at the same time every day so I don't forget. And it is a habit now, baby.
Yeah.
And I love it. It makes me feel like I'm doing something really good. So if you go to takecareof.com and enter a promo code MNM30, you get 30% off your first order. Go to takecareof.com, promo code MNM30 for a great habit that you can start right now.
Do you think expectations for marriage or parenting or career are too high for society?
Oh, marriage, parenting, career, I grouped together for you?
Yeah.
That's too much.
That's a lot.
I meant marriage and romance.
Well, yes, because I think you expect too much.
Through the Really? That's your blanket statement?
That's it. That's all I got.
Well, I know you've always, like, I used to love to read magazines. I don't have time anymore, but I used to love.
I do remember that.
Yeah, I used to love, like, I would go to the food store, and on my way to the checkout counter, I would grab, like, 4 magazines.
Not only that, well, if any time that we traveled at the airport, you would always stop at Hudson News, and get like 8 magazines. And I would watch you on the airplane just flip through every page, every second.
It calmed me. Seeing celebrities calmed me. It's like when a nun comes on the flight and you're suddenly like, okay, there's a nun on the flight. Nothing bad is going to happen. It was sort of like if I was looking at like celebrities and their dresses and everything. At one time, I was very afraid of flying. So yeah. Celebrities helped me.
Yeah, because you bought all these magazines.
I'd be like, oh, Julia Roberts flies all the time. She's not scared. I shouldn't be scared.
You were just
either.
Flipping through pages, not reading anything, just right. Flipping.
And in 2.5 minutes, then, like, it was like, what, $2.50, $3 for a magazine? Okay, throw it in the garbage. Like, done. I remember you saying to me, oh, you read all these articles in Cosmo and, you know, all these other magazines. And that were like about, you know, how to spice up your marriage and this and that and your relationship and, you know, 10 ways to have better sex and all this stuff. And you were sort of like, stop reading those. Mm-hmm. Like they are, it's the same thing with Facebook. Like I literally am never on my personal account in Facebook anymore. Not that my good friends do this, but there are plenty of people who only post the good shit in their life. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need to see again that you guys went to Maui for the weekend or you like, I don't need to, I'm so happy for you, but I don't need that to be part of my daily being. Like, I don't need to see every trip you go on. And I don't need to see every time your kid gets on the honor roll because my kids never get on the honor roll. Like I'm at the point now where I don't want that to be part of my expectation, and I want to concentrate on other things. So part of my daily being isn't checking Facebook for people's latest accomplishments, even though I want to hear about my friends' latest accomplishments. I just don't want to scroll through and see one after the other when I know people aren't really being real.
So you don't want to see like a picture of people in Hawaii and the next one is
No, I'm happy to see pictures of people in Hawaii. If it's somebody who like I really care about and they're in Hawaii and it's like a one time a year thing, that's awesome.
No, I'm not saying you don't want to see that for them because I know that you care about them and you're happy for them. But you don't want to see like Hawaii and Mexico and
okay,
whatever and
but
scroll
one thing
down,
I think I
and you're
do that
looking
other people
at it from the couch in your house.
Well, wait a minute. That's not even it. No, that's not it.
Okay.
Because I have people in my life who are very honest. They're honest about when they're going to Hawaii and they're honest about when they're going through some shit that, you know, something happened in their life and they're happy to share both. Not that I want shit to happen to anybody. But I want to be around the people who I'm happy for when things are great for them. But they're also being honest that life isn't always great. So I'm not interested in the posts from people that is just one happy moment after the other, after the other, after the other. Because that's fake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that to me is I don't have time. I don't have time for fakeness. Like, one thing that I have to say about me on the internet is I post pictures of myself without makeup. I post pictures of my, you know, pictures of
when
my kid
makeup?
Is crying. And well, thank you for asking, but I'm wearing makeup right now.
Well, I
but
can't tell the difference
you
because
for,
you're so pretty without
oh,
it.
Oh, well, that is a really good save.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I've always said that about you, by the way, and you know that.
Yeah, you have. Yes. But it's nice to be noticed when you put on a little bit of mascara, which is the extent of my makeup. But I feel like that is the difference. That I, you know, I it's not that I don't want to see people's happiness.
Wait, did you put on makeup to record?
No, I put on makeup because it's literally been five, like, so my aunt died this week.
Yeah.
It was really sad. We and I've body. Been back and forth and I've been... It's been a hard week, and I just felt like I needed a little pick-me-up. And it involved some mascara and, you know, some spandex that don't fit anymore and that kind of thing. But
I thought okay. Spandex are a thing to fit. What's...
You'd think so, until they don't.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, exactly. Don't go there. Tomorrow's Mother's Day. So anyway, so that's the difference, is that I want to be with people who are... I want to see them post Hawaii. But if they're going to post Hawaii, I also want to know, you know, I want to know
how their kid was like a brat on the plane and they were getting yelled at by the stewardess because Can you say stewardess anymore? Is that like a bad word?
I think it's flight attendant.
Flight attendant.
Yeah.
You want to see that too. Like, hey, we're going to Hawaii, but look at this on the way.
Oh,
because my family sucks.
Or just post once. Don't post 17 times a week of how great your life is. And that's all. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I got
is
you.
That terrible? Nope. I don't know. Maybe we're gonna, nope. I'm going to get bad messages now.
All right. So what? We're used to that.
Oh, but another thing I was going to say. So Esther Perel.
Like, she's back?
She's back, baby.
Esther, does she know that we're talking about
don't
her all the time?
Don't call it a comeback. What?
Does she know that we talk about her all
I
the time?
I think she probably doesn't care.
Does she have a show? Like to
yes,
bring
she
on?
Does. We've talked about her podcast many times.
No, like a TV show. Begin?
No, a TV show? No, Brene Brown just got a TV show on Netflix.
Oh.
But anyway, Esther Perel says that we're setting ourselves up, as far as marriage goes, we're setting ourselves up to rely too much on our partners. From the time we're younger, right? So she does a thing now where every time she goes to a wedding, maybe don't invite Esther Perel to your wedding. The vows that people create, mm-hmm. Now every time she goes to a wedding, she writes those down. And she says that these promises that we make are huge, that it's too much. So people are promising, you know, I promise to always, I promise right. to never, I promise, you know, it for better or for worse or this or that. Like, you know what? Sometimes when it's worse, I'm going to be fucking pissed. Sometimes when it's, you know, better for me, it's not going to be better for you. Or, you know, you're going to be successful and it's not going to be a successful time in my life. Like, we need to take into account that you can't, those are they're blanket statements. So the vows come at the beginning of your marriage, and then you're sort of like, oh, shit, this isn't what I signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
So what she's saying basically is, let's stop that. Like, there's a picture on Instagram right now about two people who, instead of vows, they just high-fived. They were
oh,
like,
really?
Okay, cool. Like, we got, like, high five. Like, whatever it is, high five.
That's fun.
Yeah. Like, they were just sort of like, I'm not promising you.
We got married at the wrong time.
What do you mean?
We should be married today.
Like, I want to renew our vows.
Like, because, like that. Like, we should have high-fived mm-hmm. at our wedding. Like, instead of, like, all the bullshit.
Yeah, we should have done a shot and smoked a cigarette.
Exactly.
That would have been the real us. Yes.
And that would be okay today.
Which is what I want everyone to do at my funeral. So,
even me? Am I still here?
Yes.
Am I still around?
You're still around, yes.
I don't think so.
And my kids have someone else raising them.
That's fine.
But she's saying that, you know, the vows, it's too much, that we're setting ourselves up. And even like what you were saying about the magazines with the articles and what we see in the movies, I mean, it's crazy what we see, you know, when you go to the movies, like, it's too much. It's not real. Like, even we, you and I love Ryan Gosling, mm-hmm. right? And, like, there's that one scene in, and it's every scene in a movie, but there's that scene in Crazy Stupid Love where he, like, picks her up and they, you know, they're, like, against the wall and all this stuff. And, like, it looks so awesome, but, like, I weigh more than you. Like, you're never picking me up and throwing me against a wall. And it looks great, but then you go home and you have sex and you're sort of like, oh, shit. Like, that's not my life.
So you're picturing, like, a guy, like, trying to pick his wife up and then, like, falls down. And
yeah,
has back
exactly.
Pain
like,
and,
you get a concussion. And that's real life to me, right? Like, that's... So it's hard because...
I don't think you weigh more than me.
Maybe we weigh the same. I think it's a slippery slope to go down. Maybe. Well, it's debatable. Maybe one's able to do a way off. That would be good. People would tune in for that. That was a maniacal laugh. But anyway, what I'm saying is we can't put ourselves up against that, right? You can't watch Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams in a scene in The Notebook and be like, well, I want to go home and do that.
Right.
Because you're not going to, you know, do a rowboat through doves for me. You're just not.
A rowboat through doves.
Yeah. Have you seen The Notebook?
I have. Come on. We did this already.
Oh, right. We did this. Yeah. Yes.
I hate that movie. Mm. It was terrible.
You hated it so much you watched it three times.
It was a terrible, stupid movie. My expectations...
For what? Marriage?
Yep, marriage, parenting, career. Is it all that stuff? Is it just...
That was group two. That was grouped terribly by me.
Yeah. It's too much.
I didn't group it like that for me.
But I kind of like, I went with the kids parenting thing. Raising kids, it's expensive. It's so expensive. And what you're expected to do for your kids these days is ridiculous expensive. And we have to work through all of it. Like, whether you both work, the mom and the dad, you know, either they both work or one person works. Like, I see my employees more than I see my family. And I just don't get it. Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, what's the point? Like, things are so ridiculous, and the expectations of what our kids need and how much life costs that...
Right. There's that meme that says, why does everything cost so much? Life costs so much, I'm not even having a good time. Like, why is everything cost so much?
I didn't see the meme, but from before our kids were born until our kids are out, I work. And I see my employees more than I see my family. Like, what's the point of that? Like, it just makes no sense to me. So my expectations of having a family, raising a family, and being with my family are like completely distraught by the fact that I just have to work so much to be able to afford to do anything with my family. So I just don't get it. Like, it makes no sense to me. So if you're expecting to have a family and spending time with them and every day, like, it just doesn't happen. It's not real life. You're lucky if you get the weekends. Like, I'm lucky enough that for the most part, I have the weekends that I can spend time with my family.
But not really, even.
Yeah.
Because, like, the next 2 months, you can't.
Right. I said for the most part. Like, when it's high seasons for us, busy, like, I don't see you for 2 months.
Yeah.
It's like, it's work for money to, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's just, I just don't get it. Like, what's the point is what I'm trying to say.
Well, right. But that's the expectation for work, right? That you're going to, that's what we do. We're all walking around exhausted because everyone's working. But listen, we always say, quote unquote, the 40-hour work week. But how many people actually
work?
Oh,
that was like 50 years ago.
Okay, but that's still what we say. 40-hour. Nobody says an 80-hour work week. That's what it maybe is. But that's the reality of it. Well, and that's crazy.
Well, everybody thought with technology, like, we can do things today in an hour that took a day 30 years ago because of technology. So everybody thought, yeah, we're going to work less. We're going to have more time with our family. But it's the opposite. We're working more and more because we're expected to be so much more productive because we can do so much more in such little time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just... Like, what are we doing this for? Like, why are we
working like that?
Working like crazy. Like, I don't think it's like that in a lot of the parts of the world.
I don't either in the world. Yeah. No way. And the vacation time. I don't know. We should do an episode where we talk about all this. But we have by far the minimum vacation time of almost any, you know, first world country. That we're, you know, you're only allowed. What do you, most people get? 2 weeks vacation a year?
Yeah, I think it starts at two and then you get three and then maybe four.
Okay, fine. But like, yeah. Places get 6 weeks, 8 weeks vacation a year.
Yeah.
That's not America. But okay, so parenting, as you're saying, there's so many expectations for it. And I agree. I think it's a really hard thing, even us being home tonight recording. But there's guilt about the fact that we're not with our kids right now doing stuff. We're doing this on our own, and we had them go with your mom or, you know, your sister, or like, there's a whole different thing. But Esther Perel. Oh, man. I love you, Esther. Can we go away together, just the two of us? She says that in the past, it was never called parenting. So parenting is a verb, right? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to do all these things for ing, verb. It used to be just called parenthood, right? You had kids.
Good movie.
The best.
Yeah.
You had kids. You gave birth to them. You had to keep them safe and alive and teach them how to survive. Maybe they had to learn the family business and contribute. Now there's all these parenting expectations. You know, but like I say all the time, like, I'm not a camp counselor, you know. Now there's these expectations of keeping your kids so busy and making it fun for them. And during the weekends, again, on Facebook or Instagram, I see pictures of people, you know, they take their kid apple picking, they take their kid roller skating, they take their, like, in one day, they're doing a whole different lineup of activities, and we're home, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't done any of that stuff with my kids.
Yeah, I hear it from you all the time.
All the time. Yeah. And I start to feel guilt, you know, but it's an unrealistic expectation for us. Like, this isn't what our weekends, I believe, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me. I don't think our weekends are to make sure our kids have, like, some kind of recreational lifestyle. Like, right. What, you know?
Yeah, except for Ian, our middle son. Our other two are content being home, kind of like doing their thing. And they're happy with a play date.
You
and they're happy
say
with...
that. You say that. But that's more what? Than well, that.
No, Mia's almost 14. She's happy, like, being in her room doing her thing. Our youngest, who's 7, he's happy on his iPad or playing with his toys or whatever.
But you would get a lot of messages saying from people, well, he shouldn't be happy on his iPad. He should be doing something.
Well, I just said with his toys too, like, he's being creative. He's drawing. He's making his own books. He has a play date. So he's with a friend for 2 hours. Like, he's on his bike.
Yeah,
he's,
this is the mental load. You don't have that guilt. I do. Yeah, but I have the guilt of...
But there's no reason to have it because they're content. They're happy.
No, they're not. They come in to me and they say, what are we doing? I'm bored. Where are we going? This is... They come to me
yeah,
and say that.
Yeah, but after doing all those things, then you should just say, well, fuck you. You just did all these things.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say fuck you to my kids.
You do that.
I don't say fuck you to my kids all ever.
Maybe that's me.
I say fuck in front of them, but I don't say fuck you ever. Let's get it right.
Well, speaking of the kids, what are your expectations for the kids?
You know, I didn't answer this exactly because I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know because I think I know. I think I want to simplify it. You know, we all want them to be happy. But happy is, I don't know, you're never always happy, right? Like,
yeah, but I also obviously want them to be happy. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. That's the problem with the question.
Well, it's not. I can answer that.
Oh, let's hear it.
I want them to be happy. I want them... All right, from what I've learned from my experiences, what I want them to be... What makes them happy? I want them to do what they're passionate about. I want them to pursue that. I
okay,
want
but
them.
What if they can't make a living doing that?
Okay, but...
Like, our oldest daughter is into the arts. She's obsessed with the arts.
There's plenty of people that are surviving and doing their thing, trying to make it in the arts, but they're happy doing what they're doing. Are they rich? No.
I don't give a shit about any of our kids being rich.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I understand that. All but right. There's also plenty of people who are in the arts whose parents are paying for their rent.
Yeah, that's not good.
Okay, but so you're saying it from a very nice perspective.
Yeah, I guess because in my mind, in my heart, all I want my kids to do is pursue what they're passionate about. I don't want them to expect anything.
That's impossible.
Well, expectations can be very dangerous, okay, which is what we just talked about.
You can never expect nothing. That's not...
You can
what do you
pursue
mean?
Well,
I don't even know what
something,
that means.
But don't expect. Hey, Mia's into arts. I'm gonna be in the field and make a lot of money. Like, don't expect.
Okay,
that.
But
Ian's a drummer. Don't expect to pursue that and make a lot of money.
Well, then where's your motivation coming from?
Your passion.
But you could be passionate and not make any money.
But is that what makes you happy?
I don't want to be that person who's like, oh, success doesn't have anything to do with money and whatever. I think that's all bullshit. Not that I want to be a millionaire.
I do.
Okay, fine. We all want, but it would be lovely. It would be great. But I want my kids to feel like they can take care of themselves and their family. Like you said, it's all about being able to take care of yourself and your family. I want them to be happy. I want them to feel fulfilled. I want them to not rely on us for money because I don't know if we're going to be able to do that for them. Like, I don't want to be the person who's like, oh, success has nothing to do with money and whatever.
No, listen, but it does.
You
it does.
You want to at least be able to pay your bills, you know? You want to not be sitting in a urine-soaked subway station.
Well, you don't have to live in New York City with a $3,000 a month studio apartment.
If you're trying to be a performing arts person, where are you living?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, so you keep going that route of not knowing and just tell your daughter to go. These are all things you have to think about.
Sure.
Okay. I'll do it next week.
I just want my kids to do what they love.
Absolutely.
Doing.
Because
if I could go back to my younger self, I would say the same thing to my younger self. I would say buy Apple stock do what you want to do.
This is a separate episode because there's so many layers to this. But I do think that you can't just say to your kid, follow your passion. It has to be at a certain point. You have to be able to pay your bills.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's that. Wow. I'm being the realistic one here.
Yeah, you are.
I want them to follow their dreams, but I also want them to do it in a way that you figure out how to make some kind of a living.
Yeah, but it's more than following your dreams. Like, you can dream to be an astronaut. You can dream to be, you know.
No, they're not five anymore. They're not dreaming to be an astronaut.
Well, I wish Jonah would be an astronaut.
I know. Jonah might be an astronaut.
But he says he does not want to go to Mars.
But he's scared now. We saw the Pokemon movie today. He was scared the entire time. He's not going to Mars anytime soon.
Well, right now it's a one-way trip, so I don't want him to do that.
Okay, either.
Anything else?
Oh, really?
That's all I got. I have a few things here.
Oh, what about... Oh, so work for me.
Oh.
Yeah. What I worry about with work, and for me, this is very subjective. It's very much
about you working?
Me. I am fucking working. No, my thing was going to be that my perspective of work has changed very much because... I never worked before. I mean, I did. I was a teacher for a few years. It wasn't my passion, although I loved it. But I realized that teaching is not just about teaching. It's about paperwork and administrators and angry parents and all this stuff.
And it's just getting harder.
And it's just getting harder and worse.
You fucking teachers out there?
Yeah.
Good for you.
80% of my best friends are teachers, and I hear their stories, and I give them so much credit, and I'm so grateful to them, and our kids have had amazing teachers. I fucking love teachers.
Yeah.
But at this point in my life, I don't know that I could go back to that.
Mm-mm.
I feel like work now, I get that whole, if it's your passion, it doesn't feel like work. Mm-hmm. 41 and a half now, and for the first time in my life I feel like I'm doing something that my fucking dog needs to stop barking, but I feel like for the first time in my life I'm doing something that it's work. I mean, I'm for sure up at 2 a.m. doing stuff for it and everything, but my worry, and this is my piece of advice about it, is that I get women who message me every day who are like, oh my God, I have an idea, but I'm too old, or, you know, I've been a stay-at-home mom for too long, and my whole thing is that I just want people to realize that it's never too late, right? Our whole society, the whole thing is that, you know, it's millennials, and you see Mark Zuckerberg, or you see the millennial who's, you know, the Instagram, you know, Kylie Jenner, who has 900 million followers on Instagram. And you start to think to yourself, like, I can't do it. And I just want people to realize that the fact now is that there's something to be said for young blood and young, you know, entrepreneurs and being a millennial and starting a business. But there's also something to be said for being a little bit older and having the wisdom and the knowledge that the younger people don't have. There's benefit of both. And
yeah, well, we started this thing almost a year ago,
mm-hmm,
because we have, at the time, 15 years under our belt,
mm-hmm,
with a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. And a lot that people can relate to.
Right.
And we were 40, 41 years old. And it's not too late. It's you.
Right.
Yeah. This happened.
But thank God we thought that. Because some people would say, I'm 40. Who's fucking listening to me?
Yeah. Like who, us at 40 years old saying, hey, let's start a podcast.
Right.
Talking about our experiences. A lot of people might say, like, really? Like, are we going to do that?
Well, there I do listen to a lot of podcasts, and I find, you know, I'm on social media all day, and I have a lot of like Jenna Kutcher, and I have a lot of younger social media entrepreneurs who I really look up to, even though I'm older than them. But I think they also probably have older people who they look up to and everything. I think there's something at every stage mm-hmm. that is valuable and recognizable. And I just want people out there who are 30 plus, 35 plus, whatever it is, not to say, oh, my ship has sailed. It's done. And that you know, so I actually researched some people who I don't want you to measure success by your age, because like Julia Child, you know Julia Child?
You've spoken about her before.
Okay, what did she do?
Mm-hmm.
Really? You don't know who Julia Child is? For real? Okay, so Julia, really? The cookbooks? The chef?
Oh yeah, she was she had a show.
Yes.
Yeah, a cooking show.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And
you pour the eggs.
Yeah, there you go.
thing in the pot, and
you're good. You're
it
good.
It boils.
And so Julia Child didn't write her first cookbook. She was in marketing and research, and then she decided to write her first cookbook at 50 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Betty White, you know Betty White.
Of course,
right?
I know Betty
Who
White.
Who said, "Why are we always talking about it's hard as balls when a vagina is the one that takes the pounding?" I fucking love her.
Yeah,
love her.
Let's have her on.
Oh, I would love
to. She alive?
She's gonna outlive us all.
Is she still alive?
She is still alive. She's in her 90s.
Wow.
She joined the Mary Tyler Moore Show at 51, and she is, yes, she's going to outlive us all. I hope she does. I love her.
Did you know that the mother on the Golden Women, what was it called?
Was younger yeah. than the other? Come on.
Oh, everybody knows that?
Yeah.
Golden Sophia, Girls?
Well, now they're all dead.
But you just said Betty White's not dead.
Oh, Betty White's the only one. Yeah. Well, she doesn't count. She's like some kind of
right. I know the other two.
Terrestrial. Yeah. Well, the main. So Dorothy. What was her real name? Bea Arthur.
Yes.
Oh, the best. So Betty White is gonna. Stanley was 40 when he first started writing his comics, and in his 40s when he started mm-hmm. Spider-Man.
Oh, is that true? Mm-hmm. He was in his 40s.
He was in his 40s.
Wow.
And okay, this is my favorite. I did this one for you. There were like 20 on the list. I did this one for you. Mamafuko Ando. What's his thing? What did he do?
Mamafuko
mm-hmm.
Ando?
Mm-hmm. Mamafuko Ando.
That's my thing?
Yep. You're going to love this.
Okay, tell me. Mm-hmm.
As Japan recovered from the end of World War II, Ando sought a way to provide quick and cheap noodles to his impoverished countrymen.
Oh, ramen!
At the age of 48, Ando developed the instant ramen, which sustains college students everywhere.
Yeah.
That's your man.
That's awesome.
That's your man. He was 48.
Wow.
So, like, fucking A, there's something to be said for being over 40 and fucking finding your niche.
Wow.
Don't stop, people. Do it. There's enough,
good talk.
Enough success to go around.
I love it.
I love it too.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
All right. I have just a couple bonus things.
Okay. Oh, there's something really important I need to say after
go
that.
Ahead.
Okay. No.
It's
you
way
go
more
first.
More important than mine.
No, you go first.
No, mine are just a couple.
Well, I was just going to say something about expectations and about the fact that we were talking about expectations for ourselves, and that I know that in some ways I don't live up to people's expectations. I know that I have friends.
Not you.
I know that I have friends who probably, you know, I disappoint sometimes. But, you know, I think that if there's certain things you're relying on me for, if you're relying on me to give you thank you notes or to not miss a birthday party or to RSVP or remember an appointment, like, I am terrible at all of that. But I do think in my own life, the way that I handle that with my friends, and so that I'm never mad at my friends. Like, I'm never fighting with my friends. I don't ever, it just doesn't really happen. I'm never fighting with my siblings. Like,
all right, get to the point, please.
No, I am getting to the point, is that it's incredibly important. Like, we always say mom tribe. That's like a big thing now.
Okay.
You have your mom tribe. But for me, a tribe is, it like, it's different than a clique. Don't get it wrong. Like, a clique to me is a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of women who travel as a unit and are like interchangeable, right? A clique is like a whole bunch of women together. But for me, I have a tribe, which means I have people in all different areas and walks of my life that I rely on for different things. Like, in a tribe, a regular tribe, there's a healer, there's like a wise one, a hunter, a shaman, a chief, and they each bring something different to the tribe. And I feel like I have done that in my life. Like,
you're the hunter?
No, I'm the fucking, like, jester. I don't know if that was part of the tribe or not.
It's not.
But what I'm saying is I don't ever rely on like one friend for everything. My best friends, all of them, bring me different things. And I think that's so important, that we need to be saying to ourselves, like, if my friends come to me for certain things, I'm not the person for that. That's why you need different people from different walks of life. I have best friends from college that know nothing, you know, they're not related to my friends from high school. They're not related to, which all one of them, but they're not related to my parent friends. They're not related to my friends from you. To like, everyone has a different role. And I think that takes the burden and the expectation and the responsibility off of the other people in your life. I don't want people to rely on me for everything. I can't do that. I'm not.
Yeah, but they don't expect you to.
Well, I think in some ways I've had people in my life, but like my best friends and my sister know that, you know, they all have other people in their life, which I'm super happy about, that are going to give them the stuff that I can't. And then they're going to come to me for certain things that other people can't give them.
Like what? Name one.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You're doubtful about
nope.
this.
I just want you to come clean.
I mean, name fun one. For one.
So their other friends aren't fun.
Not as fun as I am.
That's true.
That is true.
Yeah. That's why I married you.
I think that if they're fucking up as a mom or as a wife or as a person, they're going to come to me and be like, I did this. And I'll be like, fuck that. I've done way worse than that. And they're going to feel much better about themselves.
So you're the like line that they have to come above.
Right.
To be like, oh, the she did this.
Person who they come to when they're throwing up at their 40th birthday party. And they're like, oh, shit, I embarrassed myself. And I'm like, bitch, let me tell you what I did. You know, like, I am the person who, but you come to me and say, I sent you something. Oh, I have a great story.
Okay.
Can I just tell this one story? Maybe it doesn't even add up, but it's a good story.
Okay.
So, so when I had Mia, our oldest, mm-hmm. I was suffering horribly from postpartum after. And we were getting all these gifts from people, which was so nice. We were getting clothes and toys, and we didn't have anything. So we were super grateful for everything. It was great. So I got something from a cousin, a member of my family who will remain
yes.
nameless, okay. Sent me a letter 3 weeks after she was born saying... You might remember this once I talk about it.
It's sounding familiar, but I don't know who it is.
You'll know.
Okay.
Saying, my wife and I sent you a gift 3 weeks ago. We have not yet received a thank you note.
No, I don't remember this.
Oh, shit. Yes.
That's fucked up.
Yes. The fact that we have not received a thank you note means, A, you never got the gift. B, you didn't like the gift.
Oh, no.
C, you just haven't taken the time to write us a thank you note.
Oh, my God.
Right.
No, I want to know who this was.
You'll know after.
Okay.
And I remember I purposely didn't write back to them because I was like, fuck you.
They don't deserve a response.
Well, that's a whole societal expectation thing too, right? Like all these fucking thank you notes. Like here I was suffering from postpartum depression. Even if you're not suffering from postpartum depression, you're figuring out how to be a fucking mom. You're like trying to have your kids survive while you're figuring out everything. And people want a fucking thank you note from you. Don't send me a fucking gift then.
Yeah.
I know I'm using the word fuck a lot, but I'm very passionate about it.
Well, that makes
sense. And I never want anybody to write me a thank
you
note.
But you know what? Obviously, you're right. Because being in the party industry, where we do a big invitation business and thank you business, we barely sell invitations and thank you notes at all.
Really?
Anymore.
Well, it's probably all paperless post.
Well, it's either a text or an email or an invite or a whatever saying, come to this thing. I don't even know if I have more than 5 thank you notes in my store right now.
Really?
Nobody does.
That makes me
anymore.
Happy, actually.
But that's what I'm saying. So my point was that...
But this was an older generation,
it's
too.
An older generation. So what you are doing, which is kind of more the commonplace now, they didn't get or understand.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just kind of a thing now where it's like, yeah. Okay, bring a fucking gift.
I don't want anybody to write me a thank
nobody
you.
Nobody wants
honestly,
a thank
I probably
you.
Didn't like the fucking sweater. But
yeah,
I'm
who cares?
Gonna, right. And she's going to outgrow it in 4 seconds anyway.
All right.
But
all right, you come to my wedding. You know what your thank you was? You got to eat fucking a filet mignon and you had 16
care.
Cocktails.
Right.
Okay, that was your thank you.
Right.
Okay.
I don't give a
you're
shit.
Not going to get one in the mail.
Right.
That's your thank you.
But I want all that to go away. I want
it
all
is.
Those expectations.
It's happening.
I don't know, though, because I feel like people still get angry.
But it's happening.
Okay,
just
good.
As I told you. You know,
good.
People are buying less and less
so.
Every day of those things.
I hope so.
Okay. Lastly, on expectations. Mm-hmm. I just have a couple things here. As if you're listening and you're either newly married or new parents, just a couple of things that you kind of need to know before getting into this. Number one, don't expect that you can change someone. If you're trying to get into a marriage and you think, hey, I like this guy or I like this girl, but they could be tweaked here and I can change them in this way, get the fuck out now. You're not going to change somebody. You're going to meet in the middle because they have things they want to change about you. You have things you want to change about them. You're never going to change each other, but you're going to find out what works for the both of you. But don't expect them to change.
Hmm.
I think that's really important.
Because
I haven't changed. You haven't changed.
Yes, we have.
We haven't changed.
We're new people.
We're
2.0.
Met in the middle. Yes. We're changed 2.0.
Yeah.
Whatever
but,
the fuck that means.
I would say what it means is don't expect them to change in the way you want them to. They're going to change. But
correct.
That's a natural evolution.
You're not going to change them into what you want them to be.
Right. That's like expecting the dinosaurs to change the way you want them to change.
What the fuck are you talking about?
But they change in the way they want to change.
Okay.
The way
all right.
Some kind of superpower wants them to change.
Sure. Wow. All right.
It's not going to be the same way that you want them to change. You could be like, I want Tyrannosaurus Rex to have
right.
4
that's
horns. But he's going to have 5 because that's what God wants.
Tyrannosaurus Rex never had horns. They just have 2 baby arms that they
isn't
can't
that
reach anything.
Isn't that what the Tyro means?
No.
Oh, Triceratops.
There
I
you
meant
go.
Triceratops.
All right. Ready?
Mm.
This is big.
Mm.
For all of you out there starting out, if you're successful and you're like getting married and you're like, yeah, we got the world going on. No.
Oh, you want to just fucking like make everybody know that life sucks.
Don't expect things will make you happy.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. Huge.
They're going to feel awesome at first
yes.
when you buy them. And they're amazing.
Yes.
Trust me, I love things.
Material items.
I love stuff.
You
I
love
things.
Stuff.
I love toys. I love tech. I love it all. And it makes you so happy for like the first week. And then like a month later, you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have fucking done that. Mm-hmm. What a waste. Mm-hmm.
You know what's going to feel better? Your kids going to college.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, amen.
rent things. Is that a thing? Like, can I rent my stripper lights for like a month and then when I'm bored,
hate your stripper send lights. Them back? You're so dumb. We have to put pictures of that. Rent the runway. You can rent dresses all the time. You can rent handbags. You can rent lots of stuff, but it's a pain in the ass.
I'm just saying, like, you don't, like,
no.
It's fun at first.
Like your blonde hair on the front.
I cut half of it out.
Yeah, well, you should cut the rest
of it. I'm trying, but I have to buzz my head if I'm going to cut it all out.
It's a huge mistake.
All right, lastly.
Yeah.
Don't expect that you're going to know how to parent. Like, you're excited about having kids, and you're like, yeah, I got this shit. I've seen this. I know what to do. No, you don't.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Nobody knows.
Nope. Your kid is different.
Nobody knows.
Your kid's not like anything you've ever seen before. You don't know how to dad or mom those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And don't expect that you're going to ever know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I thought I was going to be like, hey, well, I'm a fucking dad now. Great. Yeah, I'll play baseball, play soccer with the kids.
Now you take our son out to try to teach him, our 7-year-olds, to teach him how to ride a bike. And you're like, my back fucking hurts. I got to come in.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got.
That's all I got, too.
All right. So, expectations. If you expected a good episode, I hope you were pleasantly.
Oh, God. No, please. Sign, you know, get the, what's it called? The, subscribe.
Sure.
Subscribe. Rate right, and review.
That's enough of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening, guys.
We have a polyamory episode.
Yes, we have a polyamory thing coming up. That's a new term cool. that I learned. Yes. I'm learning so much.
You're learning. We're new. Sociologists now.
We're who?
So when I was in college, I wanted to major in sociology, and I decided not to because I was like, what the fuck am I going to do with a sociology degree? And now I'm doing it.
I would totally agree with you if I knew what sociology was.
What do you think it is?
Understanding the unknown in society.
Okay. Yeah, like social beings. Understanding how social beings function and how they interact. And
but it's changing every day.
Absolutely. That's why sociology is so amazing.
So go study that shit.
Well, we Learn are. It. We literally are. That's what we're doing with our podcast, is studying sociology. And we just had a major sociologist on. I mean, we're imposters. She's for real.
Yeah.
Dr. Eli. Eli Sheff.
That was a fun conversation.
Oh, I'm so excited. Wait till this comes out.
It's going to be fun.
You're going to love it. It's so great. And she was so open with us. And it's amazing. And I just want everyone to, same as me, I just want, let's all just open our hearts and souls. And
we are the world.
There you go. There you go. All right. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Who wrote that?
Who wrote Stevie Wonder?
Holy shit. You're so wrong.
Oh, really? Who is yes. it? Who was it?
The funny thing is, I thought you were going to say Michael Jackson. Because
no,
he's...
No. I know Michael Jackson. He wrote it?
Yes.
Oh, really? Well, I just watched Finding Neverland, so...
You watched it? I'm not watching it. I won't watch it.
I told you I watched it.
I don't remember that. I won't watch it. I'm too much of a hardcore Michael Jackson fan that I won't watch it. I can't do it. So anyway, so We Are the World.
It's tough to watch.
Michael Jackson is given like 100% credit for writing that song, but it was him and Lionel Richie.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say
Lionel Richie got zero credit.
Oh, that's sad.
For that. Because of a lot of reasons.
Well, it's interesting because Nicole Richie has done some, like, she's a real success. She has done some amazing things, and she has a very successful marriage. And I don't think anybody, after she did her whole reality show with Paris Hilton, I don't think anybody expected it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Nicole Richie, she is an amazing entrepreneur.
Is Lionel Richie's wife? Daughter?
That is his daughter.
The granddaughter?
Not his birth daughter. But yes, he adopted her.
Oh, that's nice of him.
Okay, fine. But she's, she's amazing. She's done, and she's, her marriage, her kids, she's done a really good job. She's amazing.
All right, let's get out of here. Guys,
write
thank you.
Write and review, please, and subscribe.
Enough, come on. They've
heard
it.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Okay, I'm done. You done?
I'm done.
Bye, guys.
Love you.
Bye.